Kia ora and welcome to the See Tomorrow First podcast. I'm Courtney Peters, Group Marketing Manager for NZ Tech. See Tomorrow First is a shared industry and government initiative created by your industry body, NZ Tech, alongside NZT and NZ Story, to shine a spotlight on New Zealand's world-class and in many cases world-leading tech companies and to share their stories with the world. I'm joined today by our guest, Jessica Mannins. Jessica is a creative technology producer on a mission to bring VR to the masses. She has been working in the immersive arts sector for the past 8 years, establishing the NZ VR Association and co-founding an R&D lab for spatial computing innovators. Jessica is the co-CEO and co-founder of Beyond, a social gaming and VR studio that is pushing the boundaries of entertainment and technology to create stunning virtual experiences. We're going to chat about her experience within the creative sector in New Zealand, bridging a space between games and the metaverse, and hearing about how New Zealand's game industry is contributing to tech becoming our second largest export earner. Tēnā koe, Jessica. Thank you for joining me today.
Kia ora. Thank you for having me.
I would love it if you could start off by telling us about Beyond. What inspired you and your co-founder, Anton, to create this company? And what were you setting out to achieve?
Yeah. Beyond is all about bringing virtual worlds to the masses, bringing joy in these immersive experiences. We wanted to make accessible games that anyone could enjoy. And so, you know, we'd played a lot of VR experiences and we had seen what people were doing and that where the hardware was at. Everything was very expensive. It was often zombie shooters. And we thought, there must be another area of this market, another opportunity here to do something a little bit different. And so we actually started off with the family entertainment market in mind. So think of like arcades, particularly in America, it's very big over there. Here, you know, we might have Archie Brothers or, you know, you might take your kids to a trampoline park or something like that. We wanted to target them and be able to put our experiences into those kind of centres and make games that everyone could play, because not everyone could afford a headset, you know, a VR headset. Particularly back then when we started, you'd also have to have maybe an expensive gaming PC or if you were doing free roam, so walking around in VR, you'd have to have a big backpack PC. And we just thought there's got to be a better way to do this, a less expensive way, and there's got to be games that everybody can enjoy. And so that was kind of where we started. And, you know, we're now on this mission to create our first game, which was Oddball, where you basically team up with your friends in VR, in virtual reality, but also in a physical space. So you're actually together in a room competing to get the most points while you turn each other into giant pineapples and shoot hot dogs at each other.
That sounds so fun. It seems like an industry and a company that very much has to keep on top of tech as it's emerging. It's an emerging tech.
Oh, yeah.
Area.
It is. It's so fast, like really hard, you know. We started working on the Oculus headset and, you know, we were also using HTC Vive and, you know, the OptiTrax, and then even the software would update, you know. And so we would build something and then the software would update and our game would be broken. You know, and that kind of stuff was happening, you know, every couple of weeks, you know, because it was just changing so quickly. Mm. And what we could and couldn't do with the technology was changing so quickly. So whether it was, you know, the actual type of graphics that we could put in there, you know, that was improving over time. And of course, we all had this big vision, this dream of what, you know, it might look like in the future. Maybe the term metaverse that you mentioned, or maybe spatial computing, but this vision of these small glasses that we would be wearing out and about, not as creepy as the Google glasses that everyone was a little bit, you know, freaked out by, you know, and that we could have these augmented experiences while interacting with each other in the real world. And I think for us back then, when we started, we were excited because we knew the big players were investing in this. We knew that Apple, you know, that Facebook, now Meta, you know, were all investing heavily, and therefore it would progress fast because they had the dollars to do it. And therefore, if they were into it, we had a big opportunity for consumers to get into it. And therefore, as early adopters and developers, creatives, there was an opportunity for us to kind of get in quick and use that technology. And of course now, you know, the Apple Vision Pro is about to launch early next year. So, you know, that dream of 8 years ago is finally happening.
Yeah,
of course, maybe not as small as we all hoped, you know.
Oh, give it time.
Yes, absolutely.
So when you're creating games like Oddball, are you thinking about how it might work on tech that doesn't exist yet?
Oh, all the time. Yeah, absolutely. You know, when we're building, we're thinking, okay, well, when hand tracking comes in, you know, and we don't need the controllers, you know, what will that look like? Or when you can just use your eyes, you know, to track things, what will that be like? Yeah, so absolutely always thinking ahead and trying to prepare for it. You can never fully prepare for it. And, of course, you have to build with what you've got. But in saying that, of course, we're building right now for a headset that we don't have in our office. You know, we're in a simulator of it. And it was very much the same in our early days. We didn't actually have an Oculus Quest when we were building Oddball. So, you know, we always took a lot of risks in this industry, but I think they've paid off, you know. You kind of have to if you're trying to push the boundaries and innovate.
It feels like such a creative endeavor, almost like sci-fi in real time.
It is.
So social gaming and VR is a rapidly growing industry. How have you seen it evolve since Beyond started?
You know, I don't want to go much into the COVID time. However, COVID allowed people to start testing out new technology, be it Zoom or you know, VR, realizing that you can come together online and you can be connected, you know, particularly in virtual reality, it's so much more immersive. There's that presence that you have. And that connected people and made people feel better. And, you know, there's a lot of research that showed that people's mental health increased by them playing multiplayer social games together. All those jumping into meetings together as silly avatars, you know, whether it was in Horizon or whatever platform they might be using, were having a better time than those who were on their own, isolated, or maybe just doing solo 2D kind of experiences. So that's really taken us forward a long way, and I think proven that to those that might have been anti-gaming, that there's a lot of positive things that come out of gaming. The headset sales have taken off, right? You know, we have 20 million plus of the Meta 2s out there. The Meta 3 headsets are now out. You know, we have the Apple Vision Pro coming out, Pico, HTC Vive. Like, there's a range of different VR headsets and AR headsets. And the more quality content and games that get out there, then the more players, you know, that come to the party. And then just recently, Steam has allowed the Meta Quest to be able to you can play using your Steam account. So, you know, there's also some collaborations that are happening that we didn't have in the past. So it's growing. More people are having fun in there and seeing the value of it. And for us, it's about having fun, right? There's so much doom and gloom in the world. And so making games and bringing people together is so important for us as human beings, you know, and that's a huge part of why we do what we're doing.
It's so interesting to hear the side of things, because you hear so much about social media being bad for us and being bad for our kids. So to think about social gaming and tech being a source for connection is really cool.
Yeah, I see it so differently. Like, I am definitely agree that, you know, you watch people getting sucked into Instagram and just the hours, you know, for that dopamine hit or whatever it is of the, you know, the scrolling, the comparing your life to others. That's not what you get when you game together. You collaborate, you know, you go on missions together, you might build together, you know. My son learned to read using Minecraft because he had to learn all the terms so that he could access the creative things that he wanted to make within that game. And now I hear him playing, you know, his multiplayer games that he has with his headphones on, screaming, oh my goodness, loud as can be, laughing with his friends, you know. And how is that not good? How's that not good for you?
Yeah, absolutely. Your free roam multiplayer VR game Oddball was the first of its kind when it launched. Can you tell us more about it?
Yeah, so at the time, we were building a game that would allow for 8 players in a 10 by 10 meter square space. So you're thinking about like a big hall. And we had built these kind of portals so that you could walk around and then suddenly you'd be transported into a new, you know, environment. We were playing with space and how big it could make you feel like you're in a huge space when really you're only in a small space. And the idea was that it was just silly and fun. And it was was quick. And one of the results of it was actually that it was really active and you would end up sweating. So, you know, we realized that virtual reality could actually be a really great way for people to exercise and for fitness. And interesting enough, fitness is now one of the top categories that of games there in Meta, you know, and you one of the top ones is actually Les Mills, VR Les Mills. So, you know, people are using it. Exactly. Another New Zealand tech company just, you know, being innovative using these new tools. So, yeah, we built it and there was a lot of R&D. We were very grateful to Callaghan Innovation who helped us with some grants around the research and development part of what we were doing. And then we just had to get offshore to sell it because that's what you have to do in New Zealand. You know, it's very hard to be a global company unless you get offshore. And so my co-founder, Anton, went to IAPA and he hustled, you know, like, you know, met as many people as he could, hired a hotel room, you know, set the game up there, got, you know, in kind of constricted spaces where it maybe shouldn't have quite fit and, you know, made it work, as Kiwis often do, and sold it into Two Bit Circus in LA. And Two Bit Circus is a micro amusement park. It's run by Brent Bushnell and it's a space that you can both play new games, old school arcade games, but it also has like a theatre. They have kids in for like STEM events. It's got a bar. It's like everything you want as an adult and a kid. You know, they've nailed it really well and they've, you know, it's all around America. What people said in this kind of what we used to call the location-based VR industry was that if you got in there then that was you. That was your in the market now and everyone wants your game. Great. And they did. And everyone was hitting us and like inbound calls and we want exclusive deals. Will you make us a game? You know, and we were just like, oh my goodness.
This is it.
We've done it. And that was February 2020. Yeah, and then COVID hit and everything shut down. And so, you know, the location-based kind of VR, you know, industry that we were targeting quickly changed and closed. And, you know, like many of us, we had to adapt and go, well, okay, like I said, COVID meant that more people were playing online together. So we just thought, well, let's just start building consumer-based games for people with headsets at home. And that's kind of where we've gone ever since.
That is like quite a heartbreaking story. It's like it's growing and it's growing and growing and then hits a wall.
Oh, but trust me, there were tears. There were a lot of tears. But we're not the only one, right? It was hard for everyone. So, yeah.
So what did you do after that happened? Like, how did you rally?
Well, after picking myself up the floor and going, what do we want to do? Surfing sounds quite fun. it's like, you know, when you have this passion and you put so much work into something, and I knew we've learned so much, you know, that 2 years of building and R&D, it's like we have something, so much knowledge, it would be crazy to waste it. I was very fortunate that one of my angel investors decided to reinvest some money in to help us get through. And with that, we started building a new game. At the time, it was actually a collaboration with Weta Workshop because Sir Richard Taylor was a really big fan of what we'd been doing and was also getting into the location-based, as you know, here in Auckland with Unleashed, you know, looking at experiences outside of our homes. And so we started a little collab with them. We did a bit of work with them. They then off went to do some other work themselves. And then we actually ended up collaborating with a company called Fluff World, Aaron McDonald, who was an old friend of mine. They're now called Futureverse. And that led us to making some virtual worlds with the likes of Snoop Dogg. And yeah, took us on a whole other little journey for a few years.
What a ride. Tell me about Snoop Dogg. What happened there?
I mean, Snoop is just everywhere, isn't he? Snoop came about because of his relationship with Aaron and the team at Fluff World. And we were making these virtual worlds, these burrows, you know, for that these little rabbits can like hang out in. And then they were like, Snoop wants to be a part of this and he wants to have his own like studio in one of these burrows that you're making. So we worked on some designs and he was like, yep, dope. And so we made these like beautiful slash, you know, Snoop styled studio for one of these experiences. So yeah, and it was pretty cool. And we were, also did a big fundraising campaign around that, which was really awesome. And together we were able to raise $1 million for the Auckland City Mission. So that was pretty, that was pretty dope.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
That is dope.
Yeah, that was dope.
So can you kind of elaborate on some of the challenges of how you've rallied since then, and then the next steps and beyond where you're at now?
Yeah, I guess like finding the right team and the people and the support network around you, that's been one of the challenges, you know. Everyone wants to jump on the boat when the boat's going really well, you know, and, you know, it's sun setting and it's looking all pretty. And then a storm hits and like lots of people are like, I'm jumping. And so finding those people, whether it's investors, whether it's team, whether it's co-founders that want to stick around and be with you in those rough times, has been a really important kind of learning for me. Like, being resilient, you know, and having that resilience and that passion and truly knowing this is what you want to do and you're prepared to sacrifice, because you do sacrifice a lot, you know, when you decide to keep moving forward in these industries and innovating and constantly every day living in the unknown, because that is what you're in, this uncomfortable space so often, because you don't know what you're doing a lot of the time. It's R&D, it's trial and error. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so I was really lucky when we, you know, we had some great success with the Burrows experiences. So this iOS app and Android and VR experience that we'd made. So these beautiful immersive worlds. I say immersive world rather than game, because there was only slight gamification within it rather than a fully fledged game. And they did really well. And I guess that set us up internationally in our reputation as beautiful world makers, that we have world-class artists, that our developers can do these incredible things. And so from there was just a lot of interest internationally in what we were doing. And then, of course, that means that you start to get support from places like NZTE, you know, and they were really great, having a customer manager who can, you know, put you in touch with beachhead advisors that can support you, people that can, you know, give you that strategic advice around a certain area where you might not have that knowledge. And that was really helpful, you know, having people in the US who anytime I could go to the US, you know, they would look after you or introduce you to people. Brent Bushnell also became an advisor of ours, so from Two Bit Circus. So that was really great, just connecting in and having those people. I think that's kind of really, really important. I also happen to have a female mentoring group that's been running for 8 years. We meet monthly and we support each other with challenges that we have in business. And that's probably one of probably the key things that's got me to where I am today, is just having a support network. Because really hard, you know, being an entrepreneur, it is, like I say, it's a roller coaster. It really is a roller coaster. Mm. And you need those people around you that can support you, that you know, you can say, I'm having this trouble with something, and they can, you know, suggest some ideas or just ask you some questions. And then you go, oh, yeah, actually that's, yeah, I hadn't thought about that or had been thinking about that. And a lot of it comes back to trusting your gut, right? Mm. Just trust your gut. Yeah, it's been a big journey. And now we're excited because there's a lot of gaming support now in New Zealand, which there wasn't when we first started. Even though it's such an incredible industry, and we have companies like Pickpock, you know, Mario, who's like leading the way, you know, in gaming here in New Zealand, you know, the industry was kind of just swept under the carpet and ignored for so long. But then with the launch of Code, and the likes of V and Tim, and that financial support to enable those indie game developers to actually have a go and start, you know, trying to make, you know, their vision come true, and giving them knowledge and workshops. I mean, even last week I went to a workshop with Jason Della Rocco, and like, he's incredible, you know, and they're getting these amazing people to help us refine our pitches for publishers, or, you know, look at our audience segmentation and our marketing strategies. All those kind of things that I think we've had in the past in other sectors, you know, if we think about the Biz Dojo or Creative HQ or any of these kind of incubators, you know, we surround people who've got a great idea and we give them that support and hopefully some cash, because, you know, that really helps as well, to be able to excel. And the game sector didn't really have that, and now we do, which is really, really fantastic. So I hope that continues, because I think that's been a springboard for so many new game companies here in New Zealand, and for all of us as an industry to kind of connect together and share our learnings. We're all on Discord all the time.
I love that. So what's your kind of take on the New Zealand game sector, where it's at, what its potential is to contribute to NZ's economy?
I mean, it's pretty big. You know, look at Dean Hall and what he has achieved with Rocketworks here. You know, that's another fantastic success story. Dredge, you know, wow.
Like, I'm addicted to that game.
I mean, how cool is that? Yeah. And I don't know how small that team was, but I don't think it was very big. Four?
Yeah.
You know, and they've come out of Cerebral Fix, right? And I mean, that's a fantastic success story as well. You know, and good on these companies and these people who do the services work, right? And we did a bit of that too in the early days. So, you know, we did some work around bringing the Treaty of Waitangi into virtual reality, for example, or some work around William Wairoa into augmented reality for the election, you know, all these things. But, you know, right, you learn and you do the services work, and then you bring together these great people, you build a good team and a culture, and then you allow people to share their ideas, to bring those ideas forward, whether it's in a game jam or I don't know how they work, but we do a lot of kind of game jam weeks where we just say, okay, everybody come up with an idea, you've got a week, you know, prototype it, come up, and then we have a find the fun, you know, what was the most fun, you know, and to be able to do that, and then those people then be able to go out and create a company and create a, you know, a hugely successful game is just a tribute to the types of owners of these companies in New Zealand. So I think we have some pretty cool people running studios around New Zealand.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Are you a mastermind? Have you planned this from the start? Or is this twisty, turny journey just something you're just on a ride yourself?
Yeah, I'm totally on a ride. I mean, look, my whole life has been about entertainment and joy and fun. Like I started off doing theatre and film. That's where my background came from. And then I got a passion for technology and you know, I had no idea where any of this would lead me. And I guess sometimes I just trust my gut, and sometimes it's really wrong and sometimes it's right. I could never have told you that this was what I was doing, would be doing. I'm so proud of what I've achieved, but also it's really hard. You know, there's some days that I just think, why did I choose such a crazy sector that, you know, is so unknown? Like, why didn't I just open a plant shop, you know? But then I probably would have been bored.
And so what's next for Beyond? What's the plan in the next 2 to 5 years?
We're finding the fun. Yeah, it's our motto, find the fun and then follow the fun. We have some big plans. We are really bullish on the exciting stuff happening with Apple and with Meta. So the spatial computing, the spatial gaming, this mixed reality where I can see you and we can play with the digital things, you know, in this real space together, the socialness of it. We've got a couple of games that we're working on at the moment, a couple of potentially really big things happening, so cross your fingers for me. We just want to keep building beautiful, amazing experiences that bring people joy, that enable us to build the capability of our people, so that we can hire more, that we can grow the economy, that we can showcase to New Zealand and the world, you know, how amazing the gaming sector and particularly virtual reality is.
What's your like key piece of advice for someone wanting to get a start in the gaming sector in New Zealand?
Jump on Discord and join probably the Code or the NZGDC Discord, because that's where you'll meet people. Game jams are such a good way of, finding collaborators. I'm a big believer that it's best to find people to work with. You're not necessarily always going to get on and agree, but, you know, those different thoughts and minds are what kind of sparks creativity and challenges us to think outside the square. So, be brave and put yourself out there.
Nice. Thanks so much for joining us today, Jess. It's been so great to chat. That's it for this episode of the See Tomorrow First podcast. See Tomorrow First is all about making New Zealand technology world famous. And there are lots of ways for you to leverage this campaign to help you scale your tech offshore. No matter where you're at on your tech journey, check out our huge range of tools and resources at seetomorrowfirst.nz. You can listen to this podcast plus other episodes by visiting the See Tomorrow First website, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen to your podcasts. It's been a pleasure to host you today. I'm Courtney Peters from NZ Tech. Ngā mihi nui.